local and vocal on Westchester's Hometown Forum. 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX.
Sitting on the park bench.
We're back, everybody. Steve and Luce show. And Joanne's on the line. Joanne, you there?
Yes, hi, I am.
Hi, Joanne.
The music goes off. Hi, you guys. I won't keep you. I got to talk fast. I know.
Okay.
I know. Okay. I wanted to ask Steve a question, but before I do that, Steve, I just want to say that the urgency of the auditorium reminds me of the urgency by the mayor of, I don't know if he's ex-mayor yet, but of Beachmont Lake. I mean, really? When we have veterans that are homeless and living in cars, we have homeless in New Rochelle.
Of course.
And really, that had millions on that, millions.
And, anyway, and how long did that take?
Exactly.
That was talked about and done in 10 years.
Exactly.
Half a generation.
You know, unbelievable, right? Unbelievable. Really? Anyway, so, okay, there's just so much going on.
Please, hit us.
I could talk about 10 subjects, so I can't, I know. But I will ask you this one thing, Steve, if I may ask you instead of Lou, because you're of Jewish heritage, right?
I'm more than heritage. I'm proudly Jewish, and I'm proud of it, much as I love and cherish my friends of different faiths. Of course.
Well, of course, absolutely. And same with us, you know, me too, and all of us. Okay, so, it's directed at you because I don't understand, this is something I'm so puzzled about, why is it, with what Trump has done in Israel, and the relationship that he keeps going with them, that they're our biggest allies, and Netanyahu and all. So all of that, you know, taking that, and the fact that his children, his daughter did convert to Judaism,
yes.
And his grandchildren are therefore Jewish.
Sure.
Now, so why do Jewish people, that I know, I mean, I'm saying by and large,
yes.
Why do they hate this man with a passion? Wouldn't you think that with what he's done for their country, just on that alone? Are you kidding me?
I like your question. There's not time enough to go into it in depth. I have a whole thesis on how my people of whom I'm proud, and I'm the product of generations and generations of many countries of, why they choose to reject success with all his limitations. Would the Democrats talk honestly about their candidates and elected leaders like we Republicans talk about? We all know, whether we like Trump or not, we know he has strengths and we know he's shown weaknesses.
Oh, yeah.
But it is, I think, for New Yorkers, especially of my background, but maybe of others, maybe he's an embarrassment. He's loud. He's garish. He's noisy. Okay. He's inconsiderate of people. I think Joe Biden's inconsiderate of journalists. He doesn't conduct press conferences. But of a piece, it seems like New Yorkers, and particularly those of my background, they have no patience for a Donald Trump who, as you say, has accomplished a lot for world peace. For the sake of Israel, Lou and Joanne, he saved lives in the Middle East by helping make peace with four Muslim nations and Israel.
Abraham Accords.
The Abraham Accords, never discussed. The Democrats stay away from it like it's a plague. I think it's maybe his proudest accomplishment. Again, he didn't do it himself. He had a capable team, and you had to have willing and able Israelis, Arabs, and other Muslim nation leaders. You don't hear about it at all. It's like that uncle you don't want to talk about, or your disfavored son or daughter. It's obscene. It takes a big person to admit what's good about your political enemy without voting for him or her. But a lot of people won't do it. And again, I could talk for shows about it, but you got my flavor.
Another time, but all right. So there are so many other things, but I will let you go now because I know you have callers. And we'll talk again, you guys. You take care.
Thanks for the question.
Luck.
Very provocative.
Thank you, Joanne. Thank you so much.
All right, I'm told we got Chris on the line. Chris, you there?
I'm here, guys. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Excellent, Chris. After seeing you in the bank today, I feel like a new man.
Yeah, it was a case of mistaken identity.
No mistake at all. It was good to see you.
Thank you. We only met once or twice over these years.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and I knew you, and I said, geez, maybe he's from the neighborhood or something. I said,
even though we were in East Chester, to be fair.
Right.
But it's very good to see you. What are you thinking about tonight?
Well, Well, following up what we had our discussion last week, I think your point was that I was making a mountain out of a molehill with January 6th. Am I correct?
Mountain out of a molehill. This is a stairway to Mars, the production you've made of this. Look, it's a legitimate issue. It's been discussed. I don't think you, Lou, or I disagree. It was a shameful day. Trump didn't do enough. But how does that address the issues raised by Louis at the beginning of the show? The global threats of our, not political enemies, our existential enemies. How does talking about the 6th of January matter? Well, there's so many issues that concern us all as a united people. Why keep picking on the 6th?
Well, because he's running for president, okay? That's the reason. Okay, simple as that. Okay, and not only that, he's facing him. You know, let's say he did everything legally and possibly illegally to overthrow the 2020 election.
Chris, I gotta say something here.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing. You mentioned about January 6th. You know, we got a saying in Italian, not davvero, that means again and again. You speak Italian, so not davvero means again and again with this January 6th. Right. But here's the thing. Here's the thing here. How come you're not mentioning Biden's policy and Afghanistan leaving millions of dollars of equipment,
we spoke
technology,
to, let me respond to that.
Leaving people behind who helped us, who taught us the language, who helped us along the way, protected our investments there, protected the contractors that were there, working in these fields there. How come this guy was one of the worst foreign policy presidents of all time?
Chris, I know you want to answer, and that's fine, but I got to tell you, from now on, when I hear January 6th, I'm going to talk about August 30th in response. August 30th, 2021, when we abandoned a nation, I don't care what the plan was, the execution was flawed, it was disastrous. We lost service people, and we lost thousands and thousands of allies, people who worked honestly for us because they believe in the United States. I think it's worth talking about that date. Much more relevant than January 6th, which to me is old news. That was an embarrassment, January 6th. Right. Let's get beyond
it. Let me respond. You do agree that Donald Trump negotiated an agreement with the Taliban directly, completely excluded the government of Afghanistan that we supported for 20 years. And the government of Afghanistan felt that the United States, because of that, was deserting them. And that's why they were not able to. Wait, let me finish. And Biden inherited that withdrawal agreement.
So, Chris, in other words, what we did, we flew out of there like a thief in the middle of the night, okay? We flew out of there. We left millions of billions of dollars of equipment.
Right.
Tanks, bullets, technology, computers, all kinds of stuff or whatever like that to a Taliban who's just obstructs people and it takes territories, who's like killers for the Iran or whatever like that. It's part of their hate groups or whatever like that. We left millions of dollars worth of equipment there. That was good? That was a smart move?
No, that was not good.
They didn't know how to operate the equipment. They're a ragtag street gang. So who do they call? They call the Chinese and the Russians. Now the Chinese and the Russians have the state of the art of our technology. Chris, I think that's worth talking about.
Well, let me say one more point.
I think we're neglecting the disorder in our cities. There was more rioting in Chicago last night or over the weekend. That was not Republicans. That was not MAGA, though Joe Biden would like you to think so. There are domestic issues. There are employment issues, economic issues that are not talked about in the limited time of our show and other public vehicles because we're talking about old news. Chris, I think it's a distraction.
I honestly do believe it. Okay.
Distraction.
I don't think Biden will or should run. Okay? But anyway, I wanted to ask you, Steve, just on another, because we'll never really get to the bottom of this. But on another subject, what do you think about Netanyahu? What do you think about Netanyahu in Israel? I heard him on Meet the Press this Sunday.
What do you think about Netanyahu?
I think, Chris, I was just scratching my nose. Netanyahu has done some good, like President Trump did. I personally think Netanyahu was 14 years as prime minister. I think he's been there long enough. Yeah. Let's see other talent come up through the ranks. I have to tell you, Chris and Lou, the ranks are pretty thin from what I hear. The left wing, the former Mapam party, which used to be called Labor, they're not very strong. And I'll tell you, the religious right, who, you know, have their rights they've got some pretty eccentric characters. So it's good to insist on perfection, Chris. It's a good quest. But you know, there's not many alternatives to Netanyahu. And in the Republican Party, I don't know many good alternatives to Trump.
Well, let me say this. Okay, Netanyahu was trying to make a comparison of his democracy to our democracy. Okay, what he failed to acknowledge that our democracy has separate but equal branches of government. He was making a point that, that he needed to control the judicial branch from over, and while he was still, while he's under indictment, he's doing this while he's still under indictment, and he tried to make the same kind of thing like Trump is doing.
All right, Chris.
The Justice Department.
All right, okay. We got a bunch of calls backed up.
You're worried about January 6th, Chris. To be fair, New Rochelle schools are losing rank in New York State and across the nation. We used to be category leading. Our economic base is in decline. All we see here is construction of apartments that I assure you have not yet been rented. Have you seen the prices for that? We are facing so much uncertainty, but we're talking about yesterday's laundry. I think it's time to move on just a bit.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Thank you for the phone call. Thank you so much. All right. Let's get to the next caller. They hung up? All right. Call back and we'll put you right back on. Sorry about that, the caller. Do you want to say something, Steve?
Yeah, I appreciate Chris calling, and I hope he continues, but he's a smart man. He has much to tell us about. I believe he's a Yonkers or a Westchester person. He has much to tell us about his history in this city. I know he was formerly employed. Was it the building trades? He's a very smart man, but I don't think it's my being obsessed about Chappaquiddick. Remember that? Was it Teddy Kennedy?
Yes.
It's old.
Yes.
We're moving on. And if I keep talking about Chappaquiddick and not talking about President Biden or even Governor Newsom in California, those are real actors who we may be hearing from more like Newsom in the future. Let's learn about that. Let's talk about forward-looking stuff.
Well, I think, like I just said to Chris, my opinion is that the whole tragedy in Afghanistan, which was an airport that was like 400 miles from the border of China, and this what's going on right now with China would have been a great strategic point for us. If there is anything conflicts that's going on, I think would have been perfect if we still had that.
I think you're absolutely right. And to use an unfortunate word in this situation, partisan-wise, that would have been our trump card today,
yeah.
Lou. Having that base is a threat to the excess militarism of China and Russia. Close to Russia, too, relatively speaking. But we don't have it anymore.
No. All right. The phone number is 914-636-0110. You could give us a call. We couldn't get on before. Okay, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Regulation is a double service. It is a strawberry in the bloom.
This is WVOX. This is WVOX at 1460 for City Island, Echo Bay, and Port Chester.
1460 WVOX.
We're back, everybody. Steve and Lou. And I just want to say, Steve's going to say something, but I just want to say something what Lorraine said. She brings up a lot of good points. The money and this budget is phenomenal, all right? And then you look at even the government of New Rochelle. The streets look like war zones. You drive up and down Pine Brook Boulevard. I was at Dr. Weinrob, so I take Webster Avenue from my house. Every metal plates, you break your tires, tire rods, everything on the cars here. That are shot you because of the streets the way they are. Where's the money for this? They're putting all these multiple millions of dollars of buildings in downtown, making it look nice and fancy or whatever like that. It's all a joke here. Where is the people? I always said this for years on the radio. They seem like they want to kiss the tush of the people who don't live here, who are coming here, than the people who live there and have roots in this city. Steve?
Absolutely true. They're kissing the rear sides of people who don't live here yet. Many of these people will never move here, Lou, don't want to move here. Why? Because the schools, which used to be one of our great features, are no longer touted anymore. Ask your real estate brokers. They talk about anything possible other than the sorry late plight of our schools. It's a shame. We should be talked about as a modern, progressive, small p, small city, suburban city, always set a standard in education, public services, Republican and Democrat administrations. There was no distinction. We were known for efficient, well-run government. None of this was perfect. Who's talking about our system now? It's distractions with national issues that have no bearing on us. And, of course, the economic issues underlining our problems, administrative problems. Let's face it, Lou, crime has not been a major issue in New Rochelle. We should feel fortunate. But in that very big juggernaut to the south of us, New York City, great disincentive. Today, people don't want to live closer to New York City. They want to be a little further away from New York City. How are we going to distinguish ourselves? What do we talk about? That's what we should be talking about. And like you say, there should be more talk about local government. I haven't heard from any Republicans, Lou, of late. I hear from a lot of Democrats who know I won't vote for them, or maybe I will. But I'll tell you, Republicans, if they exist, or maybe more broadly, conservatives, where are they? What are they talking about? What are they planning on doing, Lou, come municipal elections? Are they just going to run out of the woodwork and run for office? It doesn't work like that, Lou. You know that. You've worked in parties. You need to organize. Of course. You need to have district leaders. What are we hearing from the Republican leadership in the county? We know the New Rochelle Republican leadership has left the scene.
Well, and that is true. That is true. And like I said, we have to do something in this city. You look at like as the streets, and you look at all these. And another thing, with all these buildings that's going up here, you know, when they put the sewer systems in Lower Westchester County here in early 1900s, when they put the ground underground, they put all these sewers. There was maybe 20,000 people in all of Southern Westchester County that lived in this area here years ago. Now you got millions and millions of people. You put a sewer treatment plant on Main Street there. Which is at capacity already, Steve, at capacity, and we're not done building. So where is all this going to? You have places like in Eastchester and places in Sheldrake River and Mamaroneck. You get a heavy rain, these people get flooded. Their basement, they can't get insurance. In a zone that they can't get insurance. So they take a hit every time you have a heavy rain.
Lou,
this
you
has to be looked at.
And you know about public works from your work in New York City. I'm sure you've seen sewers that are stacked to the grill, whatever you call it, the steel compartment at the top with leaves and debris. You can't tell me those sewers are functional. And there are some sewers that drain out and that just go to the next sewer and fill up. They're reservoirs. They're not sewer systems. This is what Republicans and Democrats should be talking about instead of just reelecting their party favorites every time. We should have a wide open discussion, and the time to do it is now. It's April. What are we waiting for, Republicans?
Then north of us, with the old nuclear plant, is they want to put the waste in the Hudson River,
right?
Which just makes no sense at all to me. These things should have been looked at years ago, or whatever. I should have been doing this gracefully, not like an abandoned night trying to dump stuff in the
Absolutely.
River. It's crazy. It's crazy.
And we skedaddled out of Indian Point, which on record generally had a pretty good safety record. I'm not talking about the storage of waste. That's a big problem. It's ongoing. It needs to be maintained and resourced, Lou. But let's face it, nuclear and fossil fuels, we are still going to rely on in the future. You know how much of Con Ed's reported utilization is wind and solar? Less than 10%. Way under 10%.
No, that's nothing. That's nothing, Steve.
The biggest source is our natural gas, and it still is nuclear, even though Indian Point is closed.
Yes.
You've got Scriba up on the Canadian border. Yes. You have a couple of plants. So we need more plants. We need safe plants. I don't care what their driving energy is, but we're not talking about it. We're just listening to these fairy tales.
There's still one in Long Island, Shoreham.
Right.
Shoreham is one in the end of Long Island there. That's another plant.
They found a way to replace them.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. And I'm going to make a prediction here. I'm going to tell everybody, well, you're going to see it in the next 5 years now. Your Con Edison prices are just going to keep every year raise. It's going to be that you can't afford to live here. That's why you see now you see people mass production of people going to Florida, a cheaper way to live. But then Florida now starting to raise their prices because there's more kids going there. They had to build more schools or whatever. So it's going to be to a time that when people who are pensioned And the biggest growth population in this country history is senior citizens, Steve. And all our senior citizens, baby boomers are senior citizens
and
now.
All this talk of electricity, all very nice. Everybody loves electricity. But again, electricity is not a power source. The power source is wind, solar, gas, even coal, nuclear, Lou. We're not talking about expanding the electricity supply. We're just talking about getting more appliances that use electricity. Cars, stoves, that's doing nothing about the limited supply.
Well, I said 20 years ago on the radio, and I'll say it again 20 years later. This country produces more garbage than any country, nation in this world, America. That when that garbage stays there, ferments, it becomes methane gas. I'm surprised where we don't tap into that methane gas to run turbines or whatever. Use our own garbage that we're collecting to run those turbines.
Oh, no, and I also forgot to mention my list of Con Ed sources. Waste burning is a major source of power. But whether you like it or not, it's a fact of life. And it's time we ask our politicians.